Criminal defendants in Jefferson County who cannot afford to hire an attorney will have a new advocate in their corner. Alabama's Indigent Defense Services announced yesterday it's chosen Birmingham attorney Kira Fontenot to lead a newly created Jefferson County Public Defender's Office. She'll lead a team of up to 35 still-to-be-hired assistant public defenders. Joining us to talk about this and other government news is Birmingham News columnist John Archibald. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Tanya.
So, John, I think a lot of our listeners might be surprised to hear that Jefferson County hasn't had a public defender's office. Places like Tuscaloosa have one. Nashville has one. Most cities our size have one. Around 90% of criminal defendants in the county are declared indigent. Who currently represents them?
Well, right now there's a pool of lawyers who are appointed by judges when defendants are deemed indigent. So you go into a courtroom, you're declared indigent, and the judge simply appoints one of that pool at the judge's choice to represent you.
So the county court system is establishing this public defender's office. The budget hasn't been set yet, but they're hiring roughly 35 attorneys. That's going to be one pretty big ticket price there.
It is, but it's a price that we're already paying with this pool now. So the problem with this pool has been allegations of favoritism, that you go in there, a judge will appoint somebody that they know or that they're friends with to represent you. And some people get appointed all the time, while other lawyers in this pool don't get appointed at all. So this is designed to kind of straighten that out and to streamline it and really cost less.
So what was the reaction when this idea of a public defender's office was first floated?
Well, I think most people who are interested in public defense who are think it's a good idea, because the old rule simply that brought a lot of questions of fairness and proper representation.
Well, speaking of criminals, crime, guns, I'm drawing a loose thread here, but it leads us all the way to State Senator Roger Bedford, the North Alabama Democrat, wants Alabamians to be able to feel free to bring their guns to work. What is this new proposal from Senator Bedford?
Well, it's not new. He's done it before. He's proposed a bill that will with some exceptions, like schools and anything under federal government that prohibits guns, allow people to bring a gun to work and store it in a locker while they're there. It's clearly a nod to the NRA, but he's failed in this effort before. He's trying it again.
Okay. Well, the Republican Party has close ties to the NRA. And the Business Council of Alabama is closely linked to the Republican Party, but the Business Council is not a fan of Bedford's proposal. What are they saying?
Well, bottom line is they think that it should be a business's right to determine who can and cannot bring a weapon onto their property. And so they oppose it pretty adamantly.
Their argument is that it infringes on a company's, constitutional rights?
A company's constitutional rights to property, which is an interesting kind of juxtaposition, because you've got sort of this Second Amendment argument on one side for people and this business rights argument on the other. So it's kind of curious in that way. But the idea that that the government can tell a business who can and cannot bring a gun on their property is kind of an unusual one. And we'll see this one go down in flames, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Final topic. Speaking of flames, smoking. It's been in the news a lot lately. UAB announced that starting next summer, it's not going to hire any new employees who use tobacco. University says it wants to promote healthy living and decrease employee health costs. But this week in your column, you argue that maybe we should, rejigger our thinking on smoking? What are you proposing?
My idea on that is that we shouldn't deny them jobs for smoking. We should give them jobs and then tax the heck out of them, or tax them at a rate reasonable to with other states.
And by tax them, you mean increase the state cigarette tax.
The state cigarette tax is incredibly low compared to other states, and we're broke as a state. We have a very low cigarette tax. We could move those things together and solve some problems.
How much do you think the cigarette tax should go up, and how much would that generate?
Well, I mean, that's certainly debatable. But last year there was an effort to add a $1 a pack tax, which would have added $227 million at that time. So half of that, 50 cent a pack, which would still leave us as among the lowest taxing states, would generate over $100 million. And we've just found out we've got this big Medicaid shortfall in addition to all our other problems. So
might help offset that. How likely, though, is an idea of an increased cigarette tax to go over in Montgomery?
Well, the attempt last year failed miserably, of course, and there is a lot of people down there pledging no new taxes. You could argue that I guess it's a user fee, but unlikely, I would say unlikely.
Okay. Thanks, John.
All right.
John Archibald's column appears in the Birmingham News and on AL.com on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And John appears here on WBHM's Morning Edition each Thursday. Listening to Morning Edition on WBHM and WSGN.